Father, thank you for this wonderful, glorious day. You're wonderful, glorious, holy and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant, mighty healer and deliverer. So we want to serve you. We want to love you with all our hearts. Please be with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Abe. Avraham. Avraham. What does Avraham mean? Avraham. All right. All right. What does that mean there? Father means what? What does father mean? It comes from Aleph and Beth. What does it mean? Or the head of the house. And then, what? Abram meant exalted father of the house. And then Avraham means what? Exalted father of a multitude. All right. And it had the heth. The he was added to his name, which is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the number of what? Five is the number of what?
Grace.
All right. So just in case all of you didn't get that, there's a little bit of that. Go to Psalm 23. We're going to teach from John the 10th chapter today. John chapter 10. But go to Psalm 23 because you cannot understand John T, the 10th chapter, unless you can understand Psalm 23. You have to start out with Psalm 23 because that's what Jesus is telling them about. Now, in the 10th and the 9th chapter of John, Jesus was debating with the what? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Levites. Basically the whole Sanhedrin court. And they're accusing him of saying that he is the Son of God, which is blasphemy. Now, he's going to come back with a very tremendous claim in John, the 10th chapter. And let's look at his claim from the Old Testament, okay? Now, nearly all of us know Psalm 23, don't we? If there's anybody not read Psalm 23, we're going to look at it again anyway. Now, it begins off in Psalm 23. It says, "The Jehovah is my shepherd." The Jehovah. The Jehovah is my shepherd. Get that. G Jehovah. Now, what does Jehovah mean? Huh? Huh? What does that mean? Jehovah.
He who shall become.
He who shall become. All right. Now, where is the fulfillment of the Jehovah title in the New Testament? It's in the Gospel of John, isn't it? John what? John 1:14. And it is what in Greek? Sharon, can you quote that for me in Greek? How about this, Sharon, over here?
Kai ho logo
sarxakanato, and the word, there, word in Greek, and even in the English, we jumped over it because it's a Hebraism, and it really is the substitute name for Jehovah. It's Hathavar in the Old Testament. When they came to the name Jehovah, they would not speak it, so they would say Hathavar, the word. And so when John wrote, and he said, "In the beginning was the word to Jehovah," and the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. And then John 1:14 is fulfillment of it, and it says, "And the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us." So we have indelibly Jesus saying that he is what? That he's Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Now he's going to enforce this in John the 10th chapter. Jehovah, the Jehovah is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, was Jesus going to come to death right after this? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, what does this anointest my head with oil? Brother Mike, what did they do when they established a king?
They
They anointed his head with oil. Now, what is the name Christ? What does that mean? The Hamashiach of the Old Testament. The anointed one. Let's see what it says here. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord in Jehovah forever. Now let's go to John the 10th chapter. Turn right over to John the 10th chapter, but let's read the last three verses of John the 9th chapter first to bring us into this. Okay? And Jesus, in verse 39, For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Okay? Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? And Jesus said to them, all right, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Now, they accused him of saying that he was God. Jesus affirms his deity in verses 35 through 41. And now let's see what he says. How does he confirm? What more, what greater way? Who wrote the 23rd Psalm? David. Okay? David wrote the 23rd Psalm. Now he was one of the greatest king of Israel. We know that. Solomon was looked at as the epitome of the king, but Solomon, everything Solomon had, David gave to him. He gave him all of the accomplishments, and so he could live in a reign of peace, basically. So now we have David's words. The Jehovah is my shepherd. The Jehovah. Now let's see what Jesus says about Psalm 23 and saying who he is. Okay? Amen, amen is how he starts out in it. And that's truly, truly. Amen is a particle of affirmation, isn't it? Now, what language the word amen, where does it originate? What language? Where does it come from? Persian. And then it goes into what language? Hebrew. And then it goes into what language? Greek. And then it comes into English language, and it's not translated, is it? What does it literally mean? To prop up or stand behind. Okay? That's what it means. I'll do it. Truly, truly, most affirmatively. A particle of affirmation is most affirmatively, okay? Most affirmative, or amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep. Remember what he just told him? You're blind. You're blind. You say you see, you're blind. You got the whole Old Testament. You're beginning to worship the Old Testament instead of me, instead of the God of heaven. Now, he's telling them that you went through the wrong door. You went through the door of just religion. But I'm telling you that you need to really worship the God of heaven, not some imposter. Okay? And Israel had, for so many years, they were idolaters. We know that. When they were in Egypt, they were idolaters. When he brought them into the land of Canaan or Palestine, they were still idolaters. He had to leave them out there in the wilderness for 40 years to shake some of that out of them, didn't he? Then he brought them into the land, and they became idolaters again. And then he allowed Assyria and Babylon to carry them off in what we call the captivities. When they went to Babylon, they got so sick of idolatry over there, that's when they began the synagogue worship, where there's 10 Jews in one area, they could start a synagogue. And they began to worship the Word of God instead of the God of heaven. They just like worshiping things. Idolaters worship things. We need to worship the God of heaven. And Jesus now is going to turn this upon them. This false shepherd, he climbs up over some other way. And he's a thief and a robber. But he enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep. The real shepherd. The ones that climb over the wall. Now, you go back into their period of time that we're talking about. How many farmhouses were there in the land of Egypt? How many farmhouses were there in the land of Egypt? None. Zero, none. Why? All the farmers lived in the city, in a closed walled city. They lived in cities because there were dangerous animals and outlaws running all over the place. Okay? And so every night they would take their animals and everything, and they would go into this closed city, walled, gated community, so-called. Okay? And they'd stay there, and then they'd take their animals and they'd go out and farm the land. And they had little cities all over the place. But they didn't live on farmhouses out in the on the farm area. They lived in the city. Now, the same way with sheep. We see sheep out in the fields, don't we? All over the place. But back then, they didn't. Out here, we have problems with coyotes and feral dogs and all kinds of stuff. Okay, even a wild hog and a mountain lion every now and then. Back then, they had all kinds of problems with this stuff. And every night, they would have, the sheep would be out in the fields grazing. But every night, a shepherd would take his sheep and put them in a sheepfold. Okay? And a sheepfold usually would be made out of rocks that had a rock wall. They got plenty of rocks over there in the land of Israel. I've been there. You've been there? Yeah, they got lots of rocks, don't they? They got an abundance of rocks. So they would take rock wall and they build a rock wall all around like this. And then they would take and plant thorn bushes all around it. And these very sharp thorn bushes, they would have the thorn bushes all around the walls around the sheepfold. And the shepherd would call his sheep and they'd start following him and he'd drive them and he'd get them and he'd put them in the sheepfold and then he'd lay down right here. He'd lay down in front of it. So if anybody wanted to harm no sheep or anything, the walls had thorns on them, which would be very difficult to get through the thorns, okay? That's why they were there. But he'd lay down here in front of this sheepfold, and nothing could get into the sheep except through him. And what did he have for defense? At a club. Huh? Had a rod and a staff. And what else? A slingshot. All right. Had a rod, staff, and a slingshot. And David, was he a real good shepherd? David was a good shepherd. And his idea of heaven was the 23rd Psalm that we just read. Now in John the 10th chapter, Jesus again affirms his deity that he is Jehovah of the Old Testament. That he is Jehovah. He is the Jehovah. Of course, John 1:14 says what? The Jehovah, Kaiholoko Sarx Aganato, and the Word are the Jehovah Sarx flesh he became. And by the way, it's in the middle voice in Greek. It's Aganato. Third person, masculine, singular, second aorist, indicative, middle voice. He came into this world. He brought himself into the world. Okay? Now let's go on down the 10th chapter of John a little bit further. But the one who enters the door, or by the door, is the shepherd. Now Jesus is beginning to tell them that you're false shepherds. That you are imposters. Okay? And all of this is in red, isn't it? Look at here. Almost all the 10th chapter is in red, isn't it? That means, you know, if you've got a red letter Bible, that means Jesus is saying this. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and he leads them in, doesn't he? Isn't that what it said just in Psalm 23? He provided food for them. He led them beside still waters. Why does a shepherd have to lead his sheep beside still waters? That means a pool of water. A sheep will not drink from running water. Did you know that? It scares them. They're afraid of it. One time, J.J. Lopez, that was the foreman of the Tejon Ranch for many years, they hired him back in the 1800s to take a tremendous amount of sheep from Fort Tejon, which is right up there at Lebec, you know, Tejon Pass. He was going to take them all the way to Wyoming, Green River, Wyoming. And he went out, and he went up there into the valley where I was raised, which is called Fish Lake Valley, up there northeast of Bishop, California. And, of course, all the way down through there at that period of time, L.A. Water and Power hadn't got a hold of the water yet. So this, I mean, the Owens Valley was a virtual paradise. And he could drive those sheep and they fit and eat all the way through. And then he drove them over what we call Westgard Pass, a narrow pass up in there, and down into Deep Springs Valley where there wasn't much water until he found those streams where all those creeks ran down there together. And he let them rest there and drink and everything else. Then he drove them over Gilbert Pass and down into Fish Lake Valley, and there's still water down in there. And then he took them and drove them over Lida Pass. And they went down by Goldfield, Nevada, and there was no water. And this one false shepherd, Tahone, General Beale had hired him because he said he knew the road all the way to Green River, Wyoming. He didn't. He's a liar. He was an imposter. He got up there and he led them to a spring up there that was a running spring. And the water, the sheep wouldn't drink and they ran off. And J.J. Lopez took his dog and his horse and he gathered up. The sheep were just going in every direction. And he gathered them up, and finally his horse and his dog got him home alive. He was dying of thirst when he drove the sheep back, and he was exhausted and unconscious. And his dog and his sheep and his horse led him home back, or where the other sheep were, and they got him. And they had to dig a pool in the meanwhile and divert that water out into the pool where they would drink that water. And they could get him to eat the sagebrush. Sage is good food. They won't drink running water. It scares them.
Even thirst wouldn't drive them down to
it. What?
Even the thirst
wouldn't drive them. They're afraid of that running water. They're afraid of it. That's why it says, Psalm 23 is really a good psalm. Leads me beside still waters. They won't drink that running water. They're afraid of it. Okay? And he knows the sheep by name, and when he puts forth his own, he goes before them to protect them. He leads them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, Jesus is telling them, these scribes. Who are the scribes? The county clerks in every synagogue. They're the ones who write down every legal deal and everything. And every time Jesus healed a person, a scribe had to write down and say he was healed of leprosy. He was blind, but now he sees. And all this, they had to write this down. Because he was kicked out of the synagogue before. He was an outsider, but now he can go in the synagogue after times of cleansing, and he has to give an offering and all that kind of stuff. Okay, but they wrote it all down. So the scribes are there, the Pharisees are there, and the Levites there, and even the Sadducees that don't believe in anything spiritual at all. They're just politicians. Okay. They follow him because they hear his voice, and Jesus is telling them, you won't follow me because you don't hear my voice. You are deaf. You are blind. Verse number 5 now. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus is telling him, my little church that I began to call out at Galilee, they hear my voice. And they're following me. But you do not. You do not listen. You will not hear. You will not hear. And in the Old Testament, the Bible says they what? They see, they're blind, their hearts are dull, their hearts are hard, and they have ears, but they can't hear with them. They don't hear with them. Verse number 6 now. Here's an explanation. This is a parenthetical explanation. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Why didn't they understand? They didn't want to. They had to lay their religion down to understand it. Oh, Peter hadn't he? Huh? How about John? John, the one's writing this book, he listened, didn't he? Mark, Cotamathion, Matthew heard, and Matthew was a what? He was a tax collector. He was one of them bad publicans that they say in the King James Version. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door, and I am the master of the door. Okay? I am the good shepherd. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. They know that they're robbers. Verse number 9 now. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall what? Be saved. Huh. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Now let's go back to Psalm 23 again. Let's go back there. Psalm 23. Let's look and see what he's saying back here. The Lord is my shepherd. The Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Do you think Jesus is repeating Psalm 23 now? He leads me to decide what? Quiet water so I won't be afraid to drink. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. What do you mean he restores my soul? David is looking upon Jehovah as his good shepherd, and he's looking at being a sheep as a type of heaven itself. This is the type of heaven. To David, this was heaven. You know, Jacob, he was a cowboy, wasn't he? He was a cowboy and he was a shepherd. And he was the breadwinner of his home. A lot of people like try to put old Jacob down, but that was the man. That was a real man in that family. Esau wasn't. Esau was a playboy and a run around. He didn't want to do anything profitable for the family. He just wanted to play and go out and go hunting and play around. Jacob was a cowboy. He was the breadwinner of that home. And he went out, and he was a strong man, wasn't he? Jacob was a strong man. When you're a shepherd, you have to be a strong man. Because what are you going to fight? Lions? Bears? Wolves? Hyenas? In that country? And he had to be brave enough to face them. And Jesus was. Now, Jesus was fighting the hyenas, wasn't he? And the lions and the grizzly bears of that day among the religious leaders. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. How many laws did those Pharisees have, Brother Roger?
613.
613. How many commandments is in the Bible?
10.
False religion always gives you more commandments than what God does. He said, I lead you in real paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Does a shepherd do that? Does he take them out there in the presence of all the wolves and the bears and the lions and all that and give them a safe place to eat? All right. Surely kindness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. By the way, the title Jehovah, in many places, it has an adjective describing it, the man of loving kindness. Jehovah is the man of loving kindness. Loving kindness. And that's what it's talking about here. Jesus is telling them that he is also the man of loving kindness. I did a whole sermon one time on the man of loving kindness, all the different places in the Bible, and it's all attributed to Jesus. Let's go back to the 10th chapter now. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. Did Jesus say, no man comes to the Father except by me? All right. Is he emphasizing that again one more time? Here we have Psalm 23 in the New Testament. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes in to steal and to kill and destroy, and I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. He's talking about these people. The world is constantly, absolutely surrounded by superstition, isn't it? Superstition and mythology. How many of you know why a rooster crows? How was a rooster crow? Well, a rooster is God's clock. He crows at 12, 3, 6, and 9. But according to Muhammad, you know why a rooster crows? You know why a rooster crows? Huh? He saw an angel. That's right. Now, how come does a donkey bray? Donkeys are just about like roosters crowing, aren't they? How many of you been around? How many of you got a donkey in the neighborhood? I do. Got one right across the road from me. And he brays just about like chickens crowing. But when a donkey brays, you know what Muhammad said about them? He saw Satan. That's right. He saw Satan. Yeah. When you're drinking into a glass, this is superstition, see. When you're drinking the glass, don't breathe in the glass because out may come Satan. And if you swallow him, after you've breathe into that glass, he may go in there and give you a bellyache. This is all in the Quran and the Hadith. All right, this is all there. Okay, this is stories. Okay, stories. We're surrounded by stories, aren't we? We're surrounded by religion, surrounded by it constantly. When you get up in the nose in the morning, according to Muhammad, you're supposed to go in there. Do you ever have bad dreams? According to Muhammad, you know what happened? Do you have those bad dreams? Satan was dwelling in your sinuses. You have to get up in the morning and you have to snuff water up into your nose real good and then blow your nose three times to get Satan out of there so he won't bother you for the rest of the day. This is it, okay? This is the stories. Has nothing to do with Satan, does it? Period. All right, number 11. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He is the shepherd of Psalm 23. That lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the good shepherd will go, what will he do when he lays down at nighttime? If you got your sheep in the sheepfold and you lay down in the door of the sheepfold, if anybody's going to come in there, on the outside of the sheepfold, there's thorns all over the place, isn't it? And obstacles. Sometimes they would put sharpened pieces of stick and everything so you couldn't get over the wall. Where do they have to go? They have to go with the shepherd. So he lays down his life. Every time at nighttime when the shepherd lays down in the door of the sheepfold, he's laying his life down for his sheep. What is Jesus saying? That I am the good shepherd. I am Jehovah of Psalm 23. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds a wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep. And he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. All right. By the way, Muhammad said that if you got a dog in your house around you, that the angels won't come because angels don't like dogs. So he didn't like dogs. Okay? That's another thing in the Hadith and the Quran. All right? Don't like dogs. All right. Now, shepherds usually have dogs, don't they? Do you know that the sheep dogs get to know every sheep? There's a story, and this is a true story, about a shepherd up on the Tohono Ranch up there. I used to be a guide on Tohono Ranch. I was a hunting guide up there for 25 years or so. And I've been all over those hills up in that area. Well, at one time, Tohono Ranch, when General Beale had that, Truxton Avenue is named after Truxton Beale. Beale Avenue changed its name. But this shepherd came in to the fort up there, and somebody relieved him. Well, he brought his sheepdog with him. And the sheepdog had pups while they were there. She was about ready to have pups, so she had pups. And they noticed that the sheepdog was gone. And she went out and went back to her sheep and was guiding them, and then she'd come back the next day in the morning and feed her pups. And she would go and take care of the sheep, and she'd come back and feed the pups. She'd go take care of the sheep, and she'd come back and feed her pups. There was an abandoned sheepdog out there on the way to Taft, to the back way. I don't know whether you know where it goes by Kmart out there. It goes all the way to our house where we live out there off of Bear Mountain Boulevard. But one of the neighbors out there picked up this dog, female dog out there. She was just so poor. She was his skin and bones. The shepherd had left her. And she wouldn't leave the area where the sheep were, but she had puppies. They brought her all the way back there, basically on Gosford Road and Taft Highway, close to that. And they fed the dog real good, and the dog took off. Then where the dog went? So they went back. They had to go back to one of their dentists or something was over there in Taft, so they went back over there and saw the dog on the side of the road, out there where the dog was before. And they said, you know what, maybe that dog's got pups. So they went to tap, and they came back, and they sat out there and waited, and they called the dog, and they sat there and waited till the dog went back to its pups, and so they got the pups and the dog and took them all home. She wouldn't leave her pups. You know, we're children of God. The Lord does not leave us shepherdless, does he? He left his word of God with us. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, he who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them all over the place. And that's what they will do. Coyotes will come into a flock of sheep, and they will scatter them and get them scattered out, and then they will kill the ones on the fringes. That's what they do. They scatter them and kill them. The shepherd keeps them together. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep, the lives of the sheep. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. You people don't care anything about your sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd of Psalm 23. And I know my own. What's it say in Psalm 23? Let's go back there again. Jesus is affirming that he is the shepherd of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And they did, don't they? The sheep go out there in very dangerous places all the time. I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Jesus says that, like David was looking upon Jehovah as the good shepherd, he said, I am that good shepherd. And he said, my sheep know my voice. They know me. Jesus is explaining Psalm 23. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep. Now, this is something that the Jews were very, very, they were very prejudiced people, weren't they? Extremely prejudiced and snooty. They looked down their noses at everybody. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. You know, way back in the book of Genesis, Israel would reject her king, wouldn't she? Israel rejected her king. But way back in the book of Genesis, of the prophecy of Noah, Noah said that that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem, did it not? And many theologians believe, and I do, that that means that after this period of time right here, the church in the beginning was a what kind of church? A Jewish church. But soon we have an apostle to the Gentiles, which was a Pharisaical zealot, Sakari. His name was Paul. And that he would go, and the church would turn from Jewish to Gentile for hundreds of years, because the mainstream Judaism would not accept it. And that Shem, Japheth, would dwell in the tents of Shem. In other words, they would take the gospel. They would take. Shem means what?
Name monument.
Name monument, Shem. All right, name, monument, or pillar. Through Shem, the Shemites would the Messiah come. Through the Shemites would the word of God be delivered. But when the Jews rejected God's word, he turned to the Gentiles. And then the Gentiles would carry the monument of Shem that Shem had carried up until that point. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and I may take it up again. Now look at that for just a minute, verse number 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and that what? I may take it up again. Jesus wasn't stoned, was he? Even though the penalty for doing what he did would be stoning among the Jewish people. When did the Jews lose the right to administer capital punishment?
With the Romans.
Shortly after Jesus was born. The scepter would not depart from Judah until what? The Messiah would come. Shortly after he was born, they lost the right to inflict capital punishment. Their capital punishment was three ways. How many of you know what they were?
Stoning.
Stoning? What else?
Hung on the cross.
No. What were the Jewish forms of the death penalty? Stoning, burning, and strangling. Okay? Burning, stoning, and strangling. There were three ways that they administered. The death penalty. One was stoning. They would take you basically and put them in a cesspool up to their waist and human waste. That's where they would kill them. They'd take them out there and they would start throwing stones at them, and one big stone, and they'd crush their, hit them right in the chest with it and hit them in the head and everything else. That was stoning. Another thing, they would take them out in these cisterns, which were outhouses of what they were. They'd make them sit down in that. And they'd take a cloth, a long cloth, and they'd have one guy stand on one side and one guy stand on the other side, and they'd put it around their neck, and they'd strangle them to death. And then shove them on down, and then they'd take them out and hang them where you came in and out of the city. These were like what we call these sewer farms. That's what this was, except it was a smaller area. That's where they'd kill these people. And then, burning. And what they would do if a woman committed adultery, remember when Judah was going to kill his daughter-in-law? Remember what he was going to do to her? He said, burn her. Well, burning, they would take her out there, put her in a cesspool. Get out there, and they would all stand up in front, and the priest would read all the indictments and everything else. And what they would do is they'd take a wick. It was a kind of a cloth like this tied together, and they would soak it in like kerosene or olive oil or pitch or something. And they would take her in there, and they'd hold her hands out there, and they'd put this scarf around her neck and start squeezing her until her mouth opened, and then they'd cram this thing down her mouth, and they'd light her on fire and hold her there until she burned to death. That's what's called burning. That was for adultery. That's what they did. That's three forms. Now, Jesus wasn't crucified. He wasn't burned to death. He wasn't stoned. He wasn't strangled, was he? And those are the Jewish forms. But what did the Old Testament, what did Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 say was going to happen to him? Going to be crucified. Crucifixion wasn't even invented yet when that was written. It wasn't even invented yet. But, you know, in stoning and in burning and in strangling, you don't have any control over your death, do you? You know that the Lord God of heaven, Jehovah in the flesh, would have control even of the point that he died, because he was crucified. When they started crucifixion, this may bore some of you. Some of you haven't seen this, though. Crucifixion was started in what country?
Persia.
Huh?
Persia.
Assyria. Assyria. Down in Nineveh. Nineveh, all right, the Ninevites, all right, the Ninevites. If you read a book about Haman and Mordecai, remember that business? Okay, Haman wanted to hang Mordecai. Now, it wasn't hanging. That's a mistranslation. What they were going to do is he got a scaffold and built it 75 feet tall. And they had steps coming up to this thing, and then they had a sharpened stake up here, and they would set them down on this greased sharpened stake, and that sharpened stake would go up through their body slowly, and it would puncture and rupture all of their organs inside, and they would slowly die. And that was a slow form of the death penalty. And that was called a staros in Greek, a stake. Now, your Jehovah's Witness brethren say, well, he wasn't crucified on a cross, he's crucified on a stake because it says star rose. This form of execution evolved. When the Romans saw, well, we like this because we're going to punish our rebels. And we're going to put them out there at the gates of the city, and they're going to crucify them right there. So everybody coming and going from this city is going to know. And the first time they did that, they used the stake. Nailed their hands up here and their feet down here. And they died too quick. That didn't work too well. So then they came out. This is what we call the iota cross of the stake. And then they came out with this type of crucifixion. And they nail a hand there and a hand there and a hand there and a hand there. And by the way, when you're crucified, you die of suffocation. They found out they died a little faster than they wanted them to. So then they began to crucify them on the towel cross. And this is what we call a crucifix. Nailed a hand there, nail a hand there. They actually nailed them right through the carpal tunnel area and put a washer on him so it wouldn't tear out. And they put a seat right here for to set the butt on, and they'd put their feet and nail them there like that. And sometimes people would live two weeks like this. Sometimes 3 weeks up there. Slowly dying. Now, if Jesus had been stoned or strangled or burned, he would not have controlled when he died. Psalm 22. Now, two times in the New Testament, Psalm 22 is quoted. One of them, it says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and the other one says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And that's two different languages. One of them is in Hebrew, and the other one is in, what's the other language?
Aramaic.
Boy, couldn't think of Aramaic. Two different languages. And when he spoke one verse, the whole verse, a whole psalm was there, Psalm 22. Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because why? This is the way he had to die on the cross. And then at the very time, the moment, he said, it is finished. And what did he do? He released his spirit. And Jesus went down to Hades. His soul and spirit went into Hades. Hades or Sheol. Hades means what? Huh? Hades means what? The place not seen. How about Sheol? Sheol means the place asked about. The place asked about. All right, same place. One of them's in Hebrew and one of them's in Greek. Okay? Sheol. And Hades. Hades, the place not seen, Sheol, the place asked about. The name Saul comes from Sheol, to ask, the one asked for, the first king of Israel. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further. No one could go to heaven before Jesus was crucified, could they? Because the price had not been paid in space and time. God had to become flesh to make that payment. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice. And they shall become one flock. For this reason the Father loves me, and I lay down my life, and I shall take it up again. The Bible says that the eternal Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Did it not? The Bible says the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Does it not? And Jesus said, I'll raise myself from my dead. I lay my life down, I'll raise myself. Why? Because we have a triune God. The best way to teach the Trinity is where? And what part of the Bible? Brother Roger, where do you go to teach the Trinity? Not in the New Testament. Bereshith. Genesis 1:26, where God made man in his image. God made man in his image. Let us make that man our image. First of all, he's going to be in his, what? Shadow casting image is what is his spiritual image. Then he's going to make him in his blood flowing likeness. And then the last, in his sovereign likeness. We have spirit, we have body, and we have soul God created man in. He created him body, spirit, and soul. verse number 18. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down. They didn't take his life from him, did they? They didn't kill him on the cross. If he'd have stayed there, he would have died sooner or later. But Jesus released his spirit. And he did that because of the crucifixion. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative for myself. Middle voice. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from the Father. Verse number 19. There arose a division among the Jews because of these words. Now, boy, this was some powerful words, wasn't it? And many of them saying, he has a demon, and he's insane. Why do you listen to him? And others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? They're very confused because now he says he's going to die. Not only is he going to die, but he's going to raise himself from the dead. This is the religion that we study. This is the religion that we adhere to. The Jesus of the Bible. Jesus again asserts his deity. At the time of the Feast of Dedication that took place at Jerusalem. What is this Feast of Dedication, Brother Roger?
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah, okay? Now they're celebrating Hanukkah. And Hanukkah, you know, the temple was taken over by Antiochus Epiphanes. And he sacrificed swine on the altar. He just he killed thousands of Jews and everything else. And then we had those brothers, the ones they called the Hammer, the Maccabees. They came in and they took it back over. And it was a miraculous thing because they didn't have enough oil to light the candles. And for so many days, and they didn't want, it was a death sentence to use oil that wasn't consecrated. And they only had so much, but that oil just kept on going and kept on going, kept on going and kept on going. Miraculously, the lights kept on burning. And this is what we call the Feast of Lights, or the Feast of Hanukkah. And this was in effect when Jesus was walking the earth, Hanukkah. By the way, we get all of the Christmas things that we get today, we got it from Hanukkah. We borrowed that in Germany from the German Jews. That's where all of these given presents and singing carols and having a Christmas tree and all this kind of stuff, the lights, all of that came from this right here. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And the Jews therefore gathered around him, and they were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. What was wrong with those people? He just got through quoting in Psalm 23 in the New Testament, and on the 10th chapter, the first part, he said, I am the good shepherd, I'm Jehovah. And Jesus answers, then I told you, and you do not believe. You don't want to believe. You don't want to believe the works that I do in my Father's name, and these bear witness of me, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. You are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Again, he's going back to what? Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I know them and they follow me. Verse number 28. And I give them eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father, what? Ooh. What do you think happened, Brother Randall? I think they had a fit, don't you? I think they had a fit. They would have killed him right there. And what did they do in verse number 31? What's 31 say? They were going to stone him. Remember what I told you about it? And they were going to break the law. You couldn't stone a man until he had to go to court. He had to go to the Sanhedrin. They had to do all kinds of in-depth things if you were going to admonish or administer the death penalty. They broke all their laws. They were going to kill him without a trial. Who needs a trial? He says he's God, you know.
Jim?
Yes.
Would Hanukkah be considered a Sabbath day?
Hanukkah would be considered a Sabbath day because it is what? It's a holy day, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many Sabbaths did they have the week that Jesus was crucified?
Three.
Three Sabbaths that week. Sabbath is not just from Friday night to Saturday evening. There were special high days, Sabbaths. In other words, where they could not work or whatever. Verse number 32, and then I'm going to turn you loose in just a few moments. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. The Muslim world doesn't believe in the Gospel of John at all. Did you know that? The Muslim world, they have Jesus being born of a virgin. And Muhammad said that Mary was a virgin because when he went to heaven, she was still a virgin and God let her marry her. He married her in heaven. That's what Muhammad said. He went up there and he married Mary and she was still a virgin. He was a virgin. Jesus was born. He did all the miracles that he did. And when he was a little bitty kid, they accused his mother of being an adulteress. And Jesus, being a baby in swaddling clothes, stood up and said, don't you accuse my mother of that. He's talking like a baby now. This is Islam's idea of Jesus. Okay. Saying, don't you tell my mother. She is a virgin. Go on and on. When he was a little child, about 7 years old, he went out and made clay birds and clay camels and clay donkeys. And he made them walk and talk and eat and all this kind of stuff. And the birds fly. And then he made them come back. This is the Islam's idea of Jesus. That's not in the Bible. That's in the Quran and the Hadith. All right. This is their idea of Jesus. Our idea, the Bible's idea of Jesus is not foolishness. He was our Savior. This is when God became flesh and he walked among mankind. Islam is looking for Jesus to come back and he's going to live for 40 days and then die. And he's going to bring all the world under jihad and Sharia law. He's going to come back. That's their idea. Jesus came the first time as what? The good shepherd and the sacrifice. He's going to come back again on a white horse to bring the world under his control. Under his control. In verse number 34, Jesus answered them, said, has it not been written in your law that I said that you are gods? And they called them, and if he called them gods to whom the word of God came and to whose scripture cannot be broken, and you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp, and he went away, and again beyond Jordan to the place where John was baptizing, and he was staying there. And many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man is true, and many believed in him there. Next week we'll get to John, the 11th chapter. John chapter 11. By the way, on Wednesday night, I'm teaching the Gospel of John from Greek. On Sunday, this afternoon, I'll be teaching the book of Genesis, creation versus evolution from Hebrew. So that's at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock in the same classroom on Sunday evening. Brother David, thank you, by the way, for your attention. Do you have any questions before I... Any questions? Any questions? All right. Brother David. Thank you for your attention. Go out and do something eternal.